First of all, Yasha Koach for the guys for ending our, we're no longer the Buffalo Bills anymore. Although I think we need Mason now to come back for Shana Gimel because we've got now we have pressure to repeat. So, I wanted to mention something to you. I'm very glad to get the feedback that the guys felt. It's very important to share with you, Rebbe, where you're holding. Whether the shear was hard, whether the shear is easy, what's going on, b'fulei. But at the same time, I want to share with you, so the feedback is very, very important. You always have to make a cheshbon nefesh. If you feel that the shear was hard, so I have a story to tell you. This story I've read from Rabbi Rakefet, who's one of the most popular storyteller and historian in YU. So he writes this in his, when he recollects YU, he says that one time, one of his first years in Rav Soloveitchik, Shir of Soloveitchik was very tough on them. Rav Soloveitchik in his younger years was extremely good in his younger voice. So he crammed in a tremendous amount, and his shir sometimes used to go on for 3-4 hours. What he thought he would be able to do in an hour sometimes would take 4 or 5 hours. It was consistent also with the way he wrote on the board. He used to start writing on the board, and eventually 3/4 of the shir was in the last bottom because he didn't realize, he didn't have a sense of how much it was. It came from anivus. Anyhow, so he said like these very hard shiurim and he did a tremendous amount. And then he said, "Oh, we're having a bechina in 3 days from now." The guys were totally overwhelmed. They didn't know what to do to approach Rav Soloveitchik. So one of the guys said, "I have an idea. My family lives in Boston. We're friends with Rav Soloveitchik's family. So I'm going to have my mother talk with the Rebbetzin. And so this way, she'll talk to her husband. And because they knew going straight to him wasn't, be careful there." They knew that going straight to him wasn't going to be easy. So they tried to go roundabout way. They spoke to the Rebbetzin. So Rav Soloveitchik sent them a message back. Okay, the bechina is pushed off for a week. The next weekend, when he came in, after the weekend, he came in for a shir. So Rav Soloveitchik just looked up. He walked in, he looked up, and he said, "You're a bunch of crybabies." And then he started saying shir. That was it. That was his comment. So you always have to make a cheshbon nefesh. When you're saying, is it hard? Is it because you're a bunch of crybabies? And is he not willing to work as hard as you're supposed to work? Or is it especially because you had Yom HaTzmud also and so on? Or is it mamish very difficult? So if something was hard, that doesn't mean we're not here to food to spoon feed you. You're here to make you work. So if it's a little bit hard, nefesh. And, one more thing. I did jump around the drop in the last year. I jumped. I was so excited about Aaron's pshat. I was so excited about the pshat. So I brought that in. It had nothing to do with everything else. So this is not a college lecture. Just like on the ball field, on the court, when something happens, you get very, very excited. You know, there's a certain emotion. So kal v'chomer, ben menoshel kal v'chomer. If I have an exciting pshat, I'm gonna wanna share it with you. This is not an organized college lecture. This is Amelus Bedora together. There's a lot of emotion that's involved as well. So if I went off on a tangent after I told you, "Oh, I'm so excited, I want to share it with you." So Einachanami was a little bit confusing. I brought in a separate topic for 3 minutes. So you should notice it, and then you should put in parentheses, and then go on. But there should be emotion also in the learning, and sometimes the emotion makes it a little bit less organized than a classic college lecture. You shouldn't be distracted by it, and if there's something that's really hard, so then you work. You have to work hard. That's what you. Now's the time. Now's the time when you have a lot of time to really work hard in learning, and you have no other distractions. Be'ezras Hashem, you should be zochet to go b'maylo. Okay, let's pick up v'omar rava. We're 20 lines from the bottom and here on up. Omar Rav, Goshnai, Omar Bechad, I forgot one more thing. I said that Amelus B'Torah is our goal together. There's a Tanai in Amelus B'Torah. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. And part of Yiras Shemayim is being able to put Torah together with Tefillah. Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful idea where Rabbi Nachman talks about that there are times that even Torah itself is a tefillah. But leaving that idea aside, no one will be matzliach in Torah without real dveikus v'akadosh baruch hu in tefillah. And the place for a ben Torah to daven is in yeshivas. The Rabbinah called a meeting today to mention that the davening in yeshiva was weak this morning. So Rabbinah told us to announce that I'm totally for it. That if you miss davening, you shouldn't come to shir that day. The point being that the two go hand in hand. The two are directly connected. Okay, let's pick up. Amar Rabba, bo shnayim v'amar b'chad v'shabasa, parikonias ha-nefesh. Two come along and they say that on Sunday, Reuven killed Shimon. Bo shnayim v'amru imanu ha-yisen. And then Yisachar and Zvulun say about Yosef and Binyamin, you were with us b'chad v'shabasa. You were with us on that day. Ella, but it's true what you're saying. Betray b'shabasa. On Monday, the allegation was the murder took place on Sunday. And Yisachar and Zvulun say, no, it took place on Monday. Harek, Plonius, and Nefesh, the same people. Veloot. And this halacha will be the same. Elafilu amru erev Shabbos. Harek, Plonius, and Nefesh. Yosef and Binyamin say that on erev Shabbos, Reuven killed Shimon. Neherogin. So even if they allege that the crime took place earlier, Yisachar and Zvulun allege that, nevertheless, Yosef and Binyamin are going to be put to death. Because at the time that Yosef and Binyamin were testifying against Reuven and Shimon on Sunday, Gavro la bar katolu. In such a case, Reuven was an innocent man. Now, the chidush of the lo'o del afilu is that in the first case on Sunday, Yosef was entirely, Reuven was entirely innocent. Reuven hadn't even killed Shimon yet. That was the first case. And so then in such an instance, Reuven wasn't a bar katola at all. He was a totally innocent man, and they were testifying against him. Rabosai, what's the velo'o del afilu? What's even the bigger chiddush that will play zomim even in the second case? Spell it out, the obvious. What's the velo'o del afilu? You have to get the pshat clear. What's the velo'o del afilu? Spell it out. Why is that a bigger chiddush? Yes.
Even though he was already a murderer on Friday.
Even though he already murdered on Friday, Reuven, that Yisachar and Zvulun are going to testify about. Nevertheless, at the time that Reuven and Shimon were testifying in court that he had killed, at that time no one knew about it, or Bezdin didn't know about it. And since Bezdin didn't know about it, when Yosef and Binyamin are testifying against him, they're testifying against an innocent man, and therefore it's kasher zaman lasas la'achiv if they say manu ayisem. So then, in such a case, the beindana the kamisadu gablo v'akbar katolo. At the time that they testify, he's not a dead man. The Gemara asks a question, might kamash malot tanina. If you go further on, that's a Mishnah on davav on the base. That the Mishnah says, l'fiche. Let's see the whole case in the Mishnah. Hayushnaim ron osa mechalon zeh, shnaim osa rov mechalon zeh, ve'echon masr bo b'ensa, bizman shemikzis ron elu eseilu, areilu nesachas. If we're together, that we could see each other, then we're one edus. We lav areilu shtei edus. Leficha im nitzas achas menzomos hu vehein nerogin vashnia ptura. If it turns out that we are zomimin, so then in such a case, what will happen is the following: if there's one kat that testified on the hariga, those guys are telling the truth. On the other hand, on the other one, there's a manu ayisem, so that both Yosef and Binyamin, as well as Reuven, will get killed. Which is exactly what's going to happen in this case. If Yisachar and Zvulun's story check out, then Reuven is going to get killed, and Yosef and Binyamin. So Gemara asks, we already learned that earlier. Fichu nimtzas achas menzomos, hu vehein nehrogin v'ashniya ptura. Says Gemara, seifa mash'en ken b'gemar din etzricha lei. The seifa of Gemar din, is of that Mishnah, is what we need. What does the Mishnah say on Vav? On the days. Eidov, Masrin Bo, Shema, Pishnai, Maiden. Save it by us, the second case of the Lufitha. Thank you. Save it by us, by Martin, that's where we need that case. Okay. Now, Rabosai, what we were going to focus on is on Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'lo od elafilu. Lo od elafilu amru amizimin be'erev Shabbos hargu shekdimu chavasa yosem rishonim hare elu azom neragin v'lo amrinam begavra k'tela asid. We don't say that it was a gavra k'tela that they were testifying about. My taima, the be'idna da kamisadi kishabo yom shlishi b'shabbos. When they come on Tuesday to testify against him, Akatri Gavra La Bar K'telu, he still isn't a dead man. Shelo Hu Adalav BeBezdin, because they haven't testified against him in Bezdin. VeIlu HaBeAsiu Moda HaVeMifta, and if they had come to be Moda, they would have been exempt. Nimtze Sheim Ayu Mechayim Misa Esmi Shein Ro Lomus. So Rashi is explaining why it is that Yosef and Binyamin are Edom Zomin in both of these cases. He says because at the time that they testified, the fellow Reuven had no case against him. And if Reuven would have come and been Modeh in such a case, he would have been Potter. In other words, he could still get out of it, Rashi says. And therefore, the Eidos at the time that Yosef and Binyamin say it is against Reuven. Nevertheless, and for that reason, the halacha is that they're going to be put to death. Okay. Tosvos and Dibur HaMasel to be Imra Da'asi the Eidim La Bar Katolu asks the following kasha: Pirusha Kuntris Mishum Di Avimodim Miftar. If he had been Modeh, he would have been exempted. V'lo nir, it's not correct. D'zelo matzinu. We never found this case. D'im kein, kol chayvei mises bezdin yachol ha'odos v'lifter atzmo. Every case of chayvei mises bezdin could be Modeh and exempt themselves. Rabosai, what's Tosis's kasha? What's Tosis's kasha? Yes?
How Rashi defined the case about why the Edom Zomim are being killed. It can't be because let's say somebody kills somebody else, and you could even have had witnesses, but the guy he outruns the witnesses and gets the Beis Din first, and he confesses. It can't just be that you confess about killing somebody and then automatically you'll just get off the hook, or let's say.
So Tosis' question is the following kasha Rashi. Would you have read, let's zero in on Pshat and the Gemara. Would you have read the Gemara like Rashi said it? What's a little bit funny about what Rashi had said? Yes, Daniel.
Look, Avi said, every time there's a
high. You said well, Avi.
Every time there's a high Mitos case, this suspect, whoever it is, he can come in and testify and then he won't die. He'll be parted from the whole. Right? Because the Edom are coming to testify that he killed somebody else. But if he comes before that, or before the verdict actually is given, he can outrun this whole.
And what's the that's what AB said, correct? What's mechudash in Rashi? What are the words in Rashi that are the big chiddush? What's the big chiddush in Rashi? Which words, Daniel? Just finish off what you're saying. I want you to point out to me what line in Rashi to underline. Yes, Eitan? Correct. That line in Rashi is a bichidush. Rashi says, and that's what compels Daniel and Avi to ask this question, at the end of the day, it's mashma from Rashi that the whole reason the Edim are testifying against someone who's already mad at Gavra Bar Katala is because even if they had really killed, Reuven had really killed on Friday, nevertheless, the halacha would have been that they would have been patur if they had themselves admitted. Let me say more precisely. If Reuven had admitted on Friday, then that would have been enough to exempt him. That's what Rashi says. Now, that's a chiddush because we don't have any gemara like that in Shas. If someone comes into Beis Din and admits that he kills, now we do have a halacha of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. That halacha we do have. But to go so far as to say that if he admits, he's now going to be patur, so that we don't have. Ask Tosfos, if Rashi is right, so then anytime someone killed, just runs into court and say, I killed. And he gets immunity. Tosfos finds that very difficult. Tosfos finds it impossible. Okay, but if it's impossible, then Tosfos is stuck. So what does it mean? It's la bar katolo. In the second case, particularly in the second case, where later on Yisach and Zulun say that they killed on Friday, Reuven killed on Friday, in such an instance, why is he not a bar katolo Reuven when Yosef and Binyamin testify against him falsely? If you say, like Rashi, the reason why he's not allowed bar katol is because he could come in and admit that he killed. If that's the reason why, so then I got it. He could come in, he could admit he killed, and he's going to be potter. But according to Tosfos, if he still wouldn't be potter, so he's already a bar katol at the moment he shot the gun. Because anybody that's going to testify on him, he's going to turn him into a rotsach retroactively to Friday. So Tosfos needs to say, why no? He's not a bar katala from Friday. So far, so good. Any clarification questions here? We need to go a little bit slowly just to make sure that we have all the building stop blocks clear. Venir le farish, la bar katala, pirish kodim shenig mardinus. It says Tosfos, I'll tell you. We're talking about a case of Friday, and Friday is not a bar katala at all. Why? From Friday he's not. Until Yisachar and Zvulun testify against him. Deshem alo yavo Eidim. How do we know that Eidim are going to come about the Friday? Vim yavo Eidim, lo yedu sankayim. And if Eidim are going to come, how do we know that their testimony is going to stand? Va'od, sha'asur lahor go hachi gomer adino. And also it's prohibited to kill him until the Gmar Din. Ukeshenig Mar Dino, tvar vade bar chiyuvuhu. And only when, I know I'm adding a word, and only when there is a Gmar Din is he a bar chiyuv. Hol kfar bo edim neskabel edusan vahar go patur. Only after the fellow has a Gmar Din, if Yehuda comes along and kills Reuven, then he's considered as if he killed a bar katala. Vanevin Yavin, Tosa just made Yavin in chat. What does Tosa mean by Argo Patur? It's trying to explain why Reuven and Shimon are coming and killing him with their Eidus. They're coming and killing him with their Eidus because until Yisachar and Zevulun indict with a Gmar Din Reuven, anybody who comes and shoots Reuven, Yehuda, is considered killing a very healthy man. He's not killing a bar katala. When is it considered as if Reuven is a bar katala? Only when there is a gemar din on Yisachar and Zvulun's testimony. That's what Tosfos means about har gofa. So far we were mad, we're just good shot in Tosfos. Rabosa, I'd like to ask a question which we're only going to get to until tomorrow. It's dependent on the next Tosfos. Just in pshat, I want you to think about. Can anybody crunch what Tosfos' teretz is? What did Tosfos just say in pshat? What was Tosfos's? How did Tosfos learn the Gemara? In other words, once Rashi is quote-unquote wrong, so then the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Why is it that we consider Reuven not a bar katala? When Yisachar and Zvulun are testifying, they're testifying that here's a murderer from Friday. So what's Tosfos' answer in one sentence? How would you crunch Tosfos' answer? Yes, Mordechai Yaakov?
It's a suffix if Reuven would actually get killed.
It's a suffix whether he would get killed.
We don't know.
He's not a bar katala. Right, it's a suffix. You crunch him better. Perfect. It's a suffix whether he's going to get killed. What's a suffix? Well, how does Tosfos, that's the crunch. He's not a bar katala. What? How many sveikos does Tosfos give?
Two.
two or possibly three. What? Let's be medayik in every word of Tosas. Number one, Tosas says, how do we know Eidim are going to come? And even if we know the Eidim come, how do we know that the Eidim are going to stand Eidim some kind? What does it mean? We know for sure. We're taking anacha that it happened. But it doesn't matter. Just because something really happened doesn't necessarily do some kayam. Why? Because the Eidim could forget what color shirt he was wearing and this and that. All the Sheva Drishas with Hakiris. And even if we as Beis Din believe that he was really killed, this is the difference between Lahavdil, Dinei Nefashos of the Torah, and most other judicial systems in terms of capital punishment. Even if we believe in our hearts of hearts that he really, really killed him, unless the Drishas and Hakiras are passed according to the Halacha, we can't put him to death. That means that it could very well be that there were times that right here in the Lishkas Hagozes, you know where the Sanhedrin sat, right? Everybody knows where they sat? By the southern excavations, right there on the stairs. You see the stairs that go up to the Makom HaMikdash? By the way, there are some briskers, and Nemtzal, I think, might be choshish for it. If you have Masorah from your Rebbe, then you shouldn't go there. But for those who don't, it's a big chumrah. But those who don't, I found out about Nemtzal's chumrah only afterwards. But so I went there before with my family. It's absolutely fascinating, the southern excavations. Chaval that you're here and not to go and see. Mamish, you feel, you know, as I was watching the drill, drilling down right over here, I was thinking about, like, this dirt that they're digging up. What has this dirt seen? So much history of our people. Anyhow, the southern excavations are fascinating. So the Sanhedrin Lishkas HaGozes would sit on the steps right there. We mamish have the steps. You could walk on where the Tanoim sat to be, and if that's not amazing, what's amazing? You mamish stand right there where the Sanhedrin sat. So that if you asked one of the Tanoim, when they sat there, and they either didn't answer the Drishas V'Chakiris, they didn't answer the Drishas V'Chakiris properly. So if you ask them, do you believe that Reuven killed Shimon? They might say, yes, 100% we believe Reuven killed Shimon. But did you give the Misas Beis Din? No, because they didn't answer all the Drishas V'Chakiris properly. There is a such a tziur that's possible. So that's a problem. Sometimes they do some could not be kayam. Sometimes they do some cannot be kayam, even if the Dayanim feel that it actually happened. So that's another suffix. Maybe the Eidim will quote unquote mess up. So number one, we're not sure Eidim going to come. Number two, we're not sure the Eidus is going to be kayam. And then Tosa says, Va'ot shahasu la'argo ad sheik mardino. And finally, it's usher to kill him until mardin. Oh. So what does Tosa mean? So what does Tosis mean in this last svara? So Tosis really giving three svaras of why Reuven is not a bar ketala, right? That's what Tosis is doing, giving us three svaras. What are Tosis' three svaras? The two we already mentioned, and the third. So what's Tosis' last svara, Rav Osai? Can you tell me what Tosis means? Rav Osai, this is not like Monday Shir. I'm not asking you to pull out different Gemaras and compare and so on and so forth and so on. I'm asking you what Tosis' words. By the way, one of the things I love about Rav Meir Tversky, I've mentioned this a few times, is he says every sugi has its own dynamic. Some sugis are bringing together a sugi in Yevamos and comparing three different sugis. And then sometimes you have a Tosis that you need to be masber every word. This is one of the reasons I'm so against talking about Derech HaLimud. It just turns into Lashon Hara and so on. But if anybody's Derech HaLimud could be something, you know, is summarized in a very, very neat box, so, and then they're probably not doing something in the sugya. Sometimes you need to be masber every word in Tosis. Sometimes you need to explain how the klal works in Shas. Sometimes you need to answer a stira in the Rambam. Every time it's a different thing. It depends on what you're reading. Let the Chazal lead the way. So over here, before we compare to other sugyas, which eventually I hope to do as well, it's also necessary, you need to explain to me what Tosis is doing in the third thing. What's Tosis doing here? Yes, A.B.?
I was thinking that the Eidim, like, for example, if there were you had that second set of Aiden who actually saw the murder, right? In our case, right? So these first Aiden were trying to rush the process. So it was Usher for that guy to be killed at the time, right? Since they were trying to rush it, and he wasn't a bar fiyuba at that time. Therefore, you're going to kill that first set of Aiden based on that. That even though he was going, like, let's say they were in the middle of the drushas and kakiras, and these two Aiden come, and they didn't know, like, some other set of Aiden came before them. They're trying to rush the process, and that would get them killed. Right?
So, but what's Moses doing? You're right. You're dancing around the point. You watch. What is it? Here, you know what? To give you full opportunity. Read what you're saying in Tosis' words and explain it. If Be'ez Hashem, one day you're going to teach Torah with as long as along with everybody else here, Be'ez Hashem. Now teach it. Teach it to everybody here. Teach the point that you want to say in Tosis' words. Oh, go ahead, read it. Read your point in Tosis' words.
Since he has not been declared by Beis Din as a murderer, he's not a bar chiyuva, right? So, therefore, anybody who testifies about him that he is at that time is going to be...
So what does that have to do with what's going on? It's true, Asa Lahargo. What does that have to do with what's going on?
The whole point of all three of his answers is to say that not that he could have come in and made himself pater like Rashi was saying, but that he could end up being pater because of the technicalities of the Beis Din.
So what does it have to do with Asa Lahargo Ashi Gamardina? You're not saying pshat crystal clear. You know it in your heart, but you're not saying it well. Which is how I started out myself as well. I told you the first time I spoke up in Rabbi Branch Bigel Shir, I had learned the Torah Das for 4 or 5 years. And the first time I spoke up in the Shir was Tosus on Daf. This is over 20 years ago now. Tosus Ksubas on Daf Lamin on the Beis. He said, what's difficult in the Tosus? And I raised my hand. And he said, explain yourself better. In my heart, I knew what was going on, but I didn't articulate it clearly. In your heart, I know you know what you're saying, but you got to articulate it. If you can't articulate it, then you don't really know it until the end. I didn't know it then. Yes, Aaron.
Kofu is coming to explain the difference between here and the next sugya. He's explaining why over here.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, first. That's what Tosfos is doing? That's his primary agenda?
In that third svar, he's explaining the difference between here and in the next case.
Oh, wow, you're saying Kedusha, that is Kedusha. You're not saying anything wrong. You're not saying anything wrong. But first, I want to know what Tosfos is doing in pshat. That's what Tosfos is doing in pshat?
Yeah, he's explaining.
No, that's not pshat. I'm sorry, Aaron. It's not pshat. You played good defense yesterday, but that's not pshat. Yes, David. Go ahead.
Just explain what he rejected Rashi's shot of Bab-Bab-Kazaru.
Right.
And now he's just explaining what is that.
Good. Mean? Good, David. Good. And what is he doing?
So you say Bab-Bab-Kazaru, that he's not able to be killed. So it's usher to kill him until the din is over.
And how? Oh, very good. David said it right. Okay. You might be right or wrong, Aaron, but you're already saying fancy shirim. Before fancy shirim, we got to say good shot. And that is the following. What Tosis is doing over here is, Tosis is saying that, no, this guy is not a Bar Katala, and I'll prove it to you. Because even if he already killed him, retroactively we're going to treat him as a murderer, at the end of the day, if Yehuda would kill Reuven, Yehuda would be Chayiv. Why? Because the halacha is that Reuven doesn't have an identity of a murderer until the anus of Yisachar and Zvulun becomes a Gmar Din. Until it becomes a Gmar Din. And before it comes a Gmar Din, it's a nothing. That's what Tosis is saying. Rabosai said, how many Svaras did Tosis give over here? How many Svaras did Tosis give about why this guy is a Bar Katala? 2, 3, 1, 4, 3, 2. Ba'etzem, it's really 2. You should have noticed this when you made a laning. Maybe you should have noticed what Aaron is starting to drive at. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But the first thing is, you should have thrown something at me when I said that Tosfos is giving 3 reasons. He's really giving 3 reasons, but he's also fundamentally giving 2. In other words, the first 2 are shtayim she'inachas. What are they? 2 practical reasons that the fellow's not a Bar Katala. either the Eid is not going to be time or the Eid is not going to come. Then the second reason of Tosfos is that I don't even care whether the Eid is going to come, is not going to come. It's dependent on Gemar Din. And without Gemar Din, then it's nothing. And therefore, at the time that Yosef and Binyamin are being made, they are being made on someone who's not yet a Bar Ketolah. Because until Yisachar and Zvulun indict him for a Gemar Din, then in such a case, the fellow is a very healthy guy. Ad Kedei Karach, if Yehuda would come and kill it, Reuven, Yehuda would be killing. It would not be killing as the Hollywood describes a dead man walking. They'd be killing what? They'd be killing a regular Bar Chiyuva. Rabosayim Pshat over here. What question then should we ask after we made a good lading in Pshat? Once you have Tosis, the second Svara, isn't Tosis, the second Svara, so attractive? It's beautiful. Why did Tosis need a first Pshat? Especially over here, the Eidos did come. And the Eidos was Kayim. Right? In our case, the Eidos did come out maybe on it. Was Kayim. So why did Tosis, the second Pshat, is such an attractive Pshat? So now, Aaron, maybe what you were driving at might be relevant. Maybe yes, maybe no. But beforehand, all these things need to be pointed out. Okay? That's Tosis's approach. Now, the problem, of course, is that Rashi is extremely, extremely difficult. Bechura, Tosis's objection against Rashi is very, very, very strong. And there's a mitzvah to save Rashi. Now, what I'm going to do is I don't think I'm going to save Rashi. I think I'm going to work on it, and we're going to get 50% of some Havana in Rashi, and in the end, we're going to need to leave 50% for the next generation. But at least I get you 50% there. Maybe you could help me out. You can help me out a little bit more. Yes, Eitan, what do you want to say? Guys, what I'm going to ask you for is, what's a decent defense for Rashi? And this is hard. Maybe I shouldn't even ask you. Maybe it's unfair to even ask you to try to defend Rashi. Because Rashi, Bechura, Tosis is correct in his objection to Rashi. The question is, how to read Rashi? Did Rashi mean, I'll start you off before I hear Eitan's question. Did Rashi mean to go so far as to say that if he admitted he came into court after he killed, he'd be potter? Did Rashi actually mean to go so far? Okay. Eitan?
Regarding the Tosfos. So the last thing when he says it's all totally on Gemar Din, that's the reason he needs to say the other two things, that maybe Eidim won't come and maybe their use won't be kind, is the reason why it's totally on Gemar Din.
That's how you read Tosfos?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced at all. I'm not convinced at all. The from Tosfos, it's not, Tosfos does not say, Shaharei Osir Lahargo. Tosfos says, But sounds like it's a different reason. According to you, tells us to say Sha'arei Osir Lahargo. Right? Am I understanding what you're saying? I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Okay, Rabosai, what are you going to say to Das Rashi? So, Reb Shmuel Rizovsky does an amazing job summarizing the Inyanim in this Rashi. In the end, Reb Shmuel ends up, this is why I said we're going to do 50%, Reb Shmuel ends up stuck in Rashi. Remember, from when we were Chaval this year, I feel like we lost out because we didn't have Reb Shmuel this year. I have to tell you the truth, I don't miss many of the late Achronim. They were great, I love them all, but I didn't miss them so much this year. But I missed Reb Shmuel. I mentioned to you when we were in the Beis HaKfaris in Bnei Brak, the Reb Shmuel's Torah is Mamish Princely. Reb Shmuel on Makos is amazing. The learning of Makos was changed forever after Reb Shmuel Rizovsky's Shiur. And I missed Reb Shmuel in Kates of Arf. And I have to say, other famous Rosh Yeshivas I didn't miss, but Reb Shmuel I really, really missed. His clarity is... So look it up. Get familiar with the Shiur. I won't call it a Sefer. It's a brand new Sefer. It's brand new in the Torah world. 30, 40 years is brand new. That's yesterday. But it's princely. Reb Shmuel really transformed Makos into an absolutely glorious limud. I told you, Reb Nevin described Reb Shmuel as princely himself, and his not only is his Torah princely, his home hus was princely. Reb Shach was a tumult of Torah, And it's, when you read his Torah, when you read Rav Shach's Sefer, you mamish feel the tumult, the tension. By Rav Shmuel, some people are critical of Rav Shmuel's Shiur for this reason. Rav Shmuel, when you read the Sefer, it's so beautiful, you like forget that there was ever any difficulty in the first place. Most of the time, it's so beautiful. Rav Shach, you're exhausted at the end. But by Rav Shmuel, it's so majestic. He's just something else. One more nikuda, and then we'll get back to learning. And it's a tremendous musr. This gets back to the crybaby musr as well. The Rav Shmuel Rizal says it's also a tremendous musr for Rabbeinu. I heard this from Rabbina. Rabbina is related to Rav Shmuel's second wife. And he said that one time there was a night before Shir, and she was cleaning. She was cleaning, doing sponja in the house, and she asked Rav Shmuel to get up where he was learning from because she wanted to clean over there. And he was already an old man at the time. Rav Shmuel, by the way, passed away from cancer. I'm pretty sure he was taken to Boston, where Rav Soloveitchik really took care of him. They had a very, very special relationship during that time. But he lived, I think, almost into his 70s, not his 70s. He was already older. And she said to him, Shmuel, how many times have you said Shir on this Masechta? Now, in the Yeshivish world, they only do about 7, 8, 9 Masechtas. They repeat the same Masechtas. I'm not sure why. In Balashim, they didn't do it this way. They started from Brachas and then went all the way to Nida. For some reason, the Yeshivish world, they do it that way. So Shmuel stopped and he thought, and he said about 10, 11 times. So I said Shir on this Masechta. So she said to him, so why do you need to prepare? You know much more than these boys. The boys in the Shir were from the ages of 18 to 30. He's saying Shir on this 10, 11 times. And Rav Shmuel said to her, I'm still scared from that little young man in the back of the Beis Medrash that he'll schlug up the entire Shir. Rav Shmuel Mamish is a tremendous Musar. He Mamish started again. There were no assumptions. And he started learning again and again and again. Every time you learn, there's no assumptions. Mamish Tadishimayuk again. But Soloveitchik didn't want to hear what he said in the last time he learned this year. He refused to get the whole notes. And when people used to start saying, Rebbe, last time you said, he would cut them off. He says, I'm learning again. I'm not parroting again. I'm learning again. Mamish started from the beginning. He wasn't interested in what he said before. So Reb Shmuel says, like, quotes the Cheshek Shlomo. I don't have a sefer. Quotes the Cheshek Shlomo, who says the following. He says, maybe Rashi doesn't mean what Tosfos said. I want someone to suggest to me how you could reread Rashi. Anybody have a way to defend Rashi? Yes, or you what's? Oh, you read the Mahalach. Go, start with the stars. Don't read the Achronim. Yes, A.B. Yes.
I was thinking that maybe that any Adim who come after somebody confesses himself are automatically going to be less believable for a certain reason. I was thinking.
What?
A person who testifies about himself, any Adim who come after he's testified about himself maybe are less believable.
Are less believable?
Are less believable.
That's how Tosis learned. But you want to say Rashi's right. And that Tosa's assumption that Rashi is correct.
That the Adim are going to be slugged up.
Now I'm asking for a different way of reading Rashi. There is one other way of reading Rashi. And that is that Rashi never meant to go as far as Tosa suggested. When Rashi said, V'ilu ava asi uko to have a miftar, what Rashi means is that when a person is moda, he's going to be potter. Rashi's not talking about what happens when Aiden come, but that time that they're moda, they're potter. V'ilu ava asi you moda have a miftar. If they would be moda, they'd be potter, they wouldn't be chayiv. Okay, I just parroted the words of the Cheshek Shlomo. What does that mean? Why is Rashi telling us this? What's Rashi accomplishing? Rashi is explaining why it's a gavra la bar katol. Rashi says, ilav asim moda, have a miftar. So what's the explanation? The explanation, they're explaining why gavra la bar katol. How does it explain gavra la bar katol? It's true, fine. If he be moda, he'd be potter. So very nice. We got out of Tulsa's kasha. But at the end of the day, we can't even read the Cheshek Shlomo and Rashi. What's Rashi? What's the Cheshek Shlomo says more, of course. But what does that mean? Fine, Rashi. That's what Rashi means. Rashi never meant to go as far as what Tosis, how as far as Tosis took it. But then, how do you read the Rashi? What's Rashi saying? So it goes like this. Could very well be that Rashi is telling us you sold Gadol, and that is. If you'd be moda, you wouldn't be chayiv. How does a person become chayiv when it comes to dinei nefashos? Rashi is telling us the only way you'd be chayiv is with Aiden. What's the halacha when it comes to mamonos? If you come into court and you say you're chayiv $100, you're chayiv. That's a gemara. Hodas bal din is kimei Aiden dami. So when Rashi is saying what Rashi is bringing out is that the Hodah over here is a Hodah that's not Mechayiv you, and the only way you can become Chayiv is with Edim. But that doesn't mean if Edim come after, you're going to be Patur. Now look at the words, the holy words of Rashi again. Kishubo yom shishi b'shabes leilo akati gavra la bar katalu La Bar Katala, Shelo Huad Olav Bebezdin. He's not a Bar Katala. Why? Because the Eidus didn't take place in Bezdin. Ve'ilu have Asi. And the proof of it is that if he would come, Umonde have him iftar, he be potter. So you need Eidim. There are two classic ways someone can become Chayiv with something in Mamonos. Either he's Moda or Eidim come against him. Rashi's saying this guy's not a Bar Katala because no one's testified against him. And the proof that he's not a Bar Katala is that if he, even if he himself would be Modeh, he'd still be Potur. So what Rashi is bringing out is that we see that until Edom indict you, you're not going to be considered a Bar Katala. And he brings that out through the classic case of Modeh. Why is it classic? What makes it classic? Why doesn't he talk about, I don't know, another halach in Cheskes Abatim? What makes this classic? What makes this classic is if there's something very unique. In Mamonos, we say, Hodah Spaldin is Kemeo Eidim. It's considered like 100 Eidim. So we see that it's not the pshat that we just don't believe him about himself. We do believe a person about himself. But when it comes to dinei nefashos, there's a gzeiras hakosuv that the fact doesn't follow the rules of facts in kol ha'torah kula. The rules of facts normally say hodas bal din is kamei eidim. Over here, we say that the rule is fact is only defined through eidus. Hence, he's not a bar katola until the eidim indict him, and it doesn't follow the regular rules of facts. And that's what Rashi is saying when Rashi says, V'ilu ava asi moda ava miftar. That answers Tosis' objection. Rashi never meant to say that you're going to be potter if Edom come afterwards. Rashi never meant to say that. All Rashi meant to say is that Odas Baldin is not an operative variable when it comes to Gavra Bar Katala, even though normally, in Kol HaTorah Kula, it generally is. That's what Rashi's bringing out. This is how the Cheshek Shlomo learns. Reb Shmuel asks a kasha that I don't understand. I don't understand why Reb Shmuel rejected the Cheshek Shlomo. Reb Shmuel asks, but if that's so, I'm just going to say the words. Look up Reb Shmuel Rozovsky. He asks, I think this Cheshek Shlomo's pshat is beautiful in Rashi over here. Whether it works in Rashi and Shas, I'm not sure. Reb Shmuel asks the following kasha. He says, according to the Cheshek Shlomo, what would the halacha be if someone comes into court and admits that Edom indicted him? He admits that there was Edus that indicted him. The halacha is that you're not put to death. Reuven comes into court and says, Yisachar and Zvulun testified against me, and in the Beis Din in Beit Shemesh, they said I'm Chayev Misa. The information was given by the Edom, still he's not put to death. It's a somehow he thinks that's a kash in the face of Shlomo's trap. Yes?
He was Kalim based in the whole time. And they already
there isn't over there.
They fulfilled it, though. They fulfilled their fee already, so therefore you should be killed on that word.
So I don't understand the kasha. I think, oh, fool! Based on what the Cheshik Shlomo said, it's beautiful. Listen to me for a second, Oren, and then I'll listen to you. Lina. And that's like this. It's not a kasha at all. Hafuch. I think it's a very strong raya. When it comes to nefashos, hodas baldin is a zilch. It's a nothing. It doesn't register. Even if he's neman, we don't do dinei nefashos based on hodas baldin. And even if the bezdin believes that he was indicted al yidei edim on a previous court, this bezdin needs to hear Eidus. And until this Bezdin hears Eidus, zero. So a fuch, that's exactly what Rashi is saying. I don't know why Reb Shmuel rejected the Cheshik Shlomo based on this. It says, V'ilu ha'ava osi u'mod ha'ava nifter. Hodas baldin is nothing. And therefore, with Hodah, the Gavra is not a Bar Ketela. The only thing that could turn the Gavra into a Bar Ketela are Eidim, and possibly, according to Dictosis, said Martin, maybe. But those are the things. That's it. I don't say why Reb Shmuel rejected it. The Chura, the Kedushik Shlomo's Pshat is beautiful. The only thing is, there are some who point to Shas. You got no Shas. And I don't like people who I don't like the approach to say, well, at the end of the day, the boys don't know Shas, and you don't know Shas, which both points are true. So, don't go to Shas. Just try to focus on Makas. First step, you gotta know Makas Daf Hei cold. And I don't expect when I discuss the Sugya and Yevamos Kuf Tes Ayin Amud Aleph, you or me to know the Sugya over there cold. Hey Amud Aleph, you need to know cold. But at the same time, if Rashi and other places in Shas could inform our Havana, or there are basic things in the Sugya, you gotta go to Shas. So here, let's go. There is a fascinating Rashi that the Achronim point to in both Maseches Zvachim and Maseches Bechoros. In the footnotes of Reb Shmuel, they quote it as well, and other Achronim make reference to it. I did not remember these Rashis, but they point out that Tosas makes a big deal that Rashi seems to repeat this idea in a totally different context. What happens if someone comes into court and he admits that his ox was chayiv misa? Now the halacha is that in order to be chayiv an ox misa, you need edim to testify against it. What happens if the owner comes in and he testifies against it? So there, the halacha is, says Rashi on Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph and Zavachim, Deshar Shehemis Al Pi Habaylim Iftar Le Miskila, it's going to be Potter from Skila. That's what Rashi writes. This is volume also of the Choyres. You want to pass me next volume? Thank you. Now, I don't know. Oh. So some say like this. Some say, and Tosas goes to town on Rashi. Tosa says, no, that would not be so. We wouldn't say he's potter. He's not going to be chayiv. But from Rashi is mashma that you're going to be potter even if Eidim come afterwards. So some point out that Tosos understands Rashi lishitasam. That Tosos understood that according to Rashi, when someone comes in and admits on something that requires two Eidim, if Eidim come afterwards, then they're going to be potter. That's what some point out. That Rashi is lishitasa. Because Tosas goes to town again on Rashi, and he says, no, if Eidim are going to come, then he's still going to be potter. Anybody have the Mara Makos? I wrote down the Mara Makom over there. The Rashi and the players.
Close to the model.
And the Shani. Do you have a sugya Tosfos in Zvachim? Anybody have the Tosfos in Zvachim? I'm the only one that has one here. Rabosai, I'm not sure if this is relevant at all to Rashi. Aside from the fact that you could be mechalik between these two cases, I'm not sure it's relevant at all. Because if you take a look, I don't know why Rav Shmuel connected and why the other Achronim connected. First of all, we would be in trouble. Our pshat would be in trouble. Because then we would be conceiving that Tosfos' Havana and Rashi is correct by connecting the two Rashis. And if you take a look at Tosfos and Zvachim and Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, unless it's a mistake in the Tosfos, this is just the Amid and Yomim, but I want to throw it out. Tosfos and Zvachim and Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph said, quotes the Gemara of Ein Adam Nereg Al Pi Asmo. Tosfos doesn't quote our Gemara. Rashi and our Gemara. He quotes the Havana on Vav Amid Aleph, which is why I asked you for the Zvachim early on, is I wanted to see if maybe there's a mistake in the where they quote. They don't quote Hey Amid Aleph, they quote Vav Amid Aleph. Now that's a separate halacha, where Tosfos assumes Ein Adam Nereg Al Pi Atzmo. That's a Dinah Modeh B'Knas. Now that's a Gemara. Modeh B'Knas Achikach Bo'edim is Potter. Now putting the Shar to death is a Knas. So then you could say, Modeh B'Knas, Achakach Bo'edim is Potter, and even Rashi holds that. But that has nothing to do with our sugya, the way we're being masked. So I'm not sure it's Tosfos L'Shitasa. But they're all the Achronim I saw, who's all? I saw in the Kitzer books, and in the footnotes of Rav Shmuel, they all put together, it's Rashi L'Shitasa. The Rashi holds that just like when you someone admits in court, then two Edim won't put him to death, so too Rashi holds that if you admit that you're Shar killed, then two Edim won't put the Shor to death. If you read Rashi and Zvachim, I can't find now for some reason the Rashi and Bechoros, but if you read Rashi and Zvachim and Ayin Aleph, Rashi over there is clear. That's Halach and Modeh B'Knas, Achakach Bo'edim, which is a sugya of Mifureshes and Bava Kama that we pass in like is Potter. No one says, Rashi didn't say by us, that the reason why he said, Modeh Miftar, it's based on Modeh B'Knas, Achakach, it's not Modeh B'Knas, Rashi didn't use that expression. So the whole idea to shtel su, to connect Rashi Shita in Zvachim with Rashi Shita by us, I think is very, very difficult. If that's so you no longer have a Gishmak or Shtikl Torah in Kol HaTorah Kula, the Rashi and Tosfos and Lushitasam and how we look at what happens if someone testifies as an Eid Echad and then afterwards they even come, the Shtikl Torah falls away. But at the end of the day, we have good Havana in Makos Hei Amid Aleph. What's our good Havana Makos Hei Amid Aleph? Our good Havana, Makas Hamid Aleph, is that Rashi never meant to say that if Edom come afterwards, butter. Like the Cheshek Shlomo said beautifully. And that is, that it's bringing out the idea that the only thing that's Mechayiv, in contrast to Kol HaTorah Kula, Hodas Baldin is the strongest thing of Kimei Edom Dami. When it comes to Dinei Nefashos, there, Modi is going to be Potter. Not Potter Lolim Vod. If Edom come afterwards, of course, Allah is that he's going to be Mechayiv. Eitan, you want to add something?
In the Rashi, when he's talking about the case of
steel.
So we'll get.
That's when
he equates them. He equates.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there. You know, if you want to tie into the Rashi, Einachanami saying it's a din of Modeh B'Knas. I don't want to say that. No, Einachanami, but my ignorance is bliss right now. Okay? I recognize it, and don't let me finish here. Tomorrow, do we need Chazara tomorrow? We can have another day of Shir. By the way, tomorrow means Hashem is a Siyum. Bezer Hashem. All right, we'll talk about it in a moment. I still have more I want to do with you. We'll talk about that in a moment. Rabosei, Pnei Yoshua has a different understanding of Rashi. It's actually a very, very beautiful understanding of Rashi. Take a look. Let's pull out our Kovetz Mefarshim. And it could very well be that after we internalize what the Pnei Yoshua is saying, the Pnei Yoshua's pshat will be. I think we're going to need a makos. No, not public comment. Thank you. Pnei Yoshua's pshat is going to be very satisfying. This is the pshat that Rav Braunschweigel said over as well when we did the Rashi. Let's take a look at. By the way, I heard Shir and Makos both from Rav Braunschweigel and from Rav Asher Arieh. I was in the mirror for one El Zman. No one believes me that I wore a colored shirt.
in the mirror at the time. Now they tell me that people, I don't know why, but anyhow, so I only put on a white, I put on a white shirt when I started wearing a suit. That was when I became a full-time Rebbe, I put on a suit. That's when I don't know, this generation makes a very, very big emphasis on chitzonius. It's very, very hard nowadays to get into pnimius. It's very, very hard to try to cut through. Neither kisa, it's not right to be only makbid on chitzonius on Yom HaTzmut. Afghan Yom HaTzmut to be makbid on chitzonius. The rest of the year, chitzonius is not important on Yom HaTzmut. Alright, tough. Right, so Pnei Yoshua says like this. Pnei Yoshua gives a beautiful pshat. He says it's the sugya in Meruba describes the following phenomena. Sugya described. You guys have, most of you have a Pnei Yoshua. So let's take a look. Let's see it inside. He says like this. We almost all of us have the red edition, or there's some browns. So I have the red. I'm going to say where the red is, and someone call out from the browns. Two lines from the top on page Yud Aleph in the red edition. He says, "The pligi sumchis rabbanan umasik ravachav reid ravika lo the chulei al mechayev el be'edu shiatiyach lasim kamitli." This is where we're picking up. Pigon the asu sahadi. There are eight in that come va'amri leganafta, and they testify against someone and say, "You stole." And the Nidon's Moda. He's Moda, Ruvain is Moda, Ruvain's going to be our bad guy this whole time. He's Moda to Yosef and Binyamin. Miu lo b'fneichem, but he says, you weren't there. El b'fnei ploni uploni. But it was in front of Sachar and Zvulun. Va'aisi sadi v'zminu. And then Edim come and they zoom Yosef and Binyamin, the loba peyu ganav, va'asu ploni ploni v'satibay the ganav tavach hamacher, ubahaka miflegi, the rabbanon sari dave edu shiata yachal aziman. The rabbanon are of the opinion that it's edu shiata yachal aziman. Once the edim said to Yosef and Binyamin, not true, but true, it's true that I stole, but it wasn't in front of you. So then, in such a case, they've already admitted to the event. So it's Eidu Shiat Yochel Azima. Upirish Rashi, the Eid Yochel Azima, Toho the Tchila. Valpiv Bolehid. They were already Moda. Says the Pnei Yoshua brilliantly. Lefizeh, skip down two lines. Shapir Mesparish Taima de Rava Bachi. We can explain Rava and our Gemara based on that sheet of the Rabbanan. There in Meruba. We should have seen like Rabbanan. Vimkein Shapi Kama Rava. Dimo Idna de Kamisadri Gavra Lav Bar Katola. At the moment that Yisachar and Zvulun testified, he's not a Bar Katola. Sharei Yachol, up until they testify. Sharei Yachol Ahodos V'lomar Ha'emesh Ha'arag. Miulav Bifneihem. Ela Bifnei Ploni Uploni. At any time, Reuven could come along and say, after Yosef and Binyamin had testified, they could come along and say, ah, you testified against us? La'alach, it's true. La'alach, I am chayiv. But I didn't steal in front of you. Then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is Yosef and Binyamin can no longer be zoomed by Yisachar and Zvulun. Then it's considered an edus she'iyata yochel azimah. What does Rashi mean? When Rashi says, have a moda bay miftar, it doesn't mean that Reuven could have been moda and pater himself, like Tosus had understood. It means he could have been moda and patered
Yosef and Binyamin that their Eidus is no longer an Eidus Shatiyachal Azima. Because the Gemara in Bava Kama says that if Reuven is Modeh, then Yisachar and Zvulun can no longer indict Yosef and Binyamin. So it's an their Eidus is an Eidus Shatiyachal Azima. That's what Rashi means. If that's so then that shows us, if their Eidus is an Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima, that the fellow is a Lav Bar Katola. Once their Eidus becomes an Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima, Yosef and Yamin's Eidus becomes an Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima, then you can't accept Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus. If you can't accept Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus, then the fellow is a Lav Bar, it was not a Lav Bar Katola. That's what Rashi means. So now let's go back to the words of Rashi. My time with the Bidin of the Kamisadi, Kishubo Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos Le'ir Alav, Akata Gavra La Barakatola. Reuven is not a Barakatola. You're not for sure going to indict him, because there's a way in which Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus has no Koach. Shalohu Adalav B'Bezdin. If Reuven would come and be Moda, what would they be Moda? He be Moda to? That he killed, have a Miftar. In such a case, then Yosef and Binyamin, their Eidus loses its Koach, because once the Horeg is Moda, then their Eidus becomes an Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima. What does that mean? That when Yisachar and Zvulun come, they cannot kill Yosef and Binyamin anymore. What's the reason for the Gemara in Bava Kama? According to Rabban, it goes like this. In order for Yisachar and Zvulun to be able to kill Yosef and Binyamin, they have to be providing all the information that Yosef and Binyamin are lying. The moment they weren't the ones who provide all the information, then Yosef and Binyamin are not going to be zoomable anymore. It's not possible to zoom them. Not shy to zoom them. And therefore, the Gemara Bava Kama is mechadish. Once the Horeg walks, admits, so then Yosef and Binyamin, their Eidus becomes Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima. And Rashi Lashidoso argues that Pnei Yoshua is making reference to that. That's what he's doing. V'ilu ava osu mode avimim miftar. If they would come and be Modeh, they would daughter Yosef and Binyamin as Edim Zomimin. So what does that show? That shows that Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus is not yet an Eidus that turns it into a Bar Katola. The proof of it is the moment that they admit, that he admits, Reuven admits, then we throw out Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus. Why do we throw out Yosef and Binyamin's Eidus? Because it's an Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima. If it's a Eidus Shiat Yochel Azima, so then that proves to us that he's Lav Bar Katola. If it's possible for Reuven to change his own psak by being Moda, so then he's not a Bar Katola. And that, Pnei Yeshua says, is what Rashi is saying. Rabbo said, we leave off with two beautiful Nahalchim and Rashi. I want you, for the ambitious ones of you, I really want your feedback and I need your help. I thought to defend the Achronim, maybe there was a mistake. That's why I was waiting for those of other Gemaras. I thought there was a mistake when they quoted Makkos, Vav and Aleph. I thought maybe they meant Tosus was saying Makkos, Hey and Aleph. If Tosus would be saying Makkos, Hey and Aleph, then it would be Tosus Lishitasov. But I don't know why the Achronim even bring in. They reject Rashi from the Peshik Shlomo. Rashi's beautiful according to Peshik Shlomo. Or you have the brilliant Mahalach of the Pnei Yoshua that he wants to tie in its Rashi Lishitaso. Either way, Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha to be able to read Rashi and taste this well with two Mahalchim in the Shita Rashi. And I just leave off with why the Tosfos need two Pshatim. This Be'ezer Hashem will get to the next issue, part of what you raised, Eitan, and part of it in the Tosfos and Rabbi Akiva Eger. For the next time. When do we want the next time to be?
Tomorrow.
We want tomorrow? No need for Chazara Shir? No need for Chazara? That means you're going to work late tonight. Right? What?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. Beis Hashem. We'll start off with the. We'll start. We'll figure out. We'll let you know the exact time for the Siyum Beis Hashem tomorrow, and we'll continue on.